is the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.
Happy back to work Monday at time of podcast release. It's Monday, but listen whenever you want. Who are we to judge?
Do you know whose glasses?
Oof, hello. Bronte's just found a pair of glasses. I'm getting nasty librarian vibes from you.
They've just been beside my microphone for the last couple of months and I have never put them on. They're just blue light glasses. Do you know who those?
No, but I think they should be yours.
Really? Thank you. I don't wear glasses. You wear glasses.
I think you just got hotter.
What? I'm going to take them off. You can't control yourself.
Stop it. No, keep going. Stop it.
I had breakfast with a real librarian the other day.
Did you?
I was like, that sounds like a really lovely job. And she's like, it is. Hard to come by.
I've always had this theory that librarians are just actually wild. Like, get them out of the, like in the library, they're all shh.
Yes.
Get them out of the library. They're doing Jager bombs.
You are
freaky stuff.
100% correct. Yeah. Based on the limited information I know about this girl, she likes some Prosecco.
My ex was a teacher as well, and some of the stuff she told me that teachers get up to at school camp would have you questioning whether or not you should send your kids along. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I knew a teacher who hooked up with another teacher at school camp.
Hot.
Yeah, I know.
As long as it was another teacher and everyone was of age.
If the cabins are rocking. Don't come a-knocking, kids.
Sorry to distract you.
Hey, hang about. Keep listening. More of this fun and frivolity on the podcast today. Becky Lucas, the comedian, is going to join us. A lot of fun. A Facebook glitch.
Oh, this wasn't fun. If you were stalking over the weekend, bad news.
Plus a clickbait cliffo that's going to have you questioning what you do if you're heading over to Bali anytime soon.
Yep.
Can you beat Bronte Champions League?
It's all here.
Don't go anywhere. Hang about, guys.
This is Clickbait Cliffo on Hit.
It's been a while between headlines.
Yeah.
One
was a quick one about a woman surviving off wine and lollies, which is also my autobiography.
That's with the woman in Victoria who lived on nothing but wine and lollies for a week.
I get it.
And all the other mums are like, how do I sign up?
So it's been a while between clickbaity stories.
How's this headline, though? A tourist in Bali had to get emergency surgery after an elephant sucked her arm.
Oh.
So this happened only last week at like an elephant rescue park in Ubud. But anything like that in Bali, I'm like, are we rescuing
or are we profiting? I went to one of those when I was younger. Now I probably wouldn't.
We went to the zoo in Bali and I just... had the ick.
Yeah.
Afterwards. Anyway, this woman, Beth Bogger, her name is, funny name. But serious thing that happens.
What happened?
So she's posing with the effluent, as my four-year-old Charlie would call it. And it's a package thing where you get a photo with the effluent and it puts its trunk around you. And apparently the keeper said this elephant was really tame, really meek, mild-mannered and stuff, just had a bit of a brain snap. And he, like, sucked her upper arm.
Not with the trunk, with his mouth.
Yeah, maybe use the trunk as well. There's no video, but however, he sort of, between the trunk and the mouth, he gets the arm into his mouth, sucks it in, and then starts... like having a bit of a chew.
Oh, no.
She was rushed to hospital. Like thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of surgery had to happen. But this is her talking on the news in America about it.
The doctor was able to go in. There are plates. There are screws. And everything is put back together. But it's going to be a long road. In a split second, your entire trip can really be changed.
True that.
Is it bad that I thought the plates and the screws was talking about like the elephant's mouth? I was like, oh, he's got braces now. That's not. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, he was a bit of an arsehole of an elephant. My God, he had great teeth.
Can you beat Bronte? Champions League only on Hit.
Okay, this is it. Week number two of Can You Beat Bronte Champions League. We spent a week last week finding the champion's champion, and it was done on Friday.
It was, and David took it out, $500 in his back pocket, hoping to make it $1,000, but it's just not going to happen, David. Have you accepted that?
No, I didn't. I've not accepted that.
Yeah,
good. No, refute that, David.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you hear Bronte just before we threw into the 7 o'clock news up, like before the ads and stuff there?
Yeah, I actually did. Yeah. I heard a bit of Mum Spaghetti.
I am a bit nervous. I'm a bit shaky.
There's nerves, but it doesn't stop her talking the big game, mate. No. She was ratting on you, David, so you have something to prove.
Yeah, good luck.
Well, I actually did have Mum's Spaghetti last night, and I actually feel really confident.
I don't know if that makes you sound tough, but you went to Mummy's
Mother's Day
for spaghetti last night, Dave.
We'll forgive it.
Bronte Lake.
Oh, my God, it's been so long.
Into the soundproof booth you go. And for you, Dave, it hasn't been so long. You are fresh, mate. 30 seconds on the clock. Are you good to go?
Yeah, let's do this.
Week 2 of Can You Beat Bronte Champions League. With David the Tiger, we've been calling him. Need to work on that name, I think, David, but we'll talk about that later. 30 seconds on the clock, mate. Your time starts now. What is the longest man-made structure in the world? Fe is the chemical symbol of which element? Laura Lee and Rory are a mother and daughter duo from which TV series? What gaming company created Super Mario?
Nintendo.
In The Great Gatsby, what is the name of Jay Gatsby's love interest?
Pass.
Longest man-made structure in the world?
Bridge.
Oh, mate.
Oof. Oh,
how did you become our champion with that effort, David?
Oh, it's been a tough weekend.
Hello.
Bronte's back. Don't say anything.
Yeah, don't say anything.
All right.
I did really well.
Killed it. Surprised you even want to compete and don't just forfeit after that.
I don't know what to believe.
I don't believe everything.
All right,
30 seconds on the clock. Are you ready? And I should say too, we have upped them a little bit.
We
should.
Okay,
this
of course.
Is champion versus champion. So
I'm not surprised. I might flail out here.
I'm just getting in early with a don't blame the questions.
Oh yeah, good. All right. No, David wouldn't do that.
David, hold there. 30 seconds on the clock. Bronte, your time starts now. What is the longest man-made structure in the world?
The Brooklyn Bridge.
Fe is the chemical symbol for which element?
Magnesium.
Laura Lee and Rory are the mother and daughter
Gilmore
duo.
Gilmore Girls.
What gaming company created Super Mario?
Nintendo.
In The Great Gatsby, what is the name of Jay Gatsby's love interest?
Daisy.
Okay, that's 5 answers. But we'll find out, Dave, if they are 5 correct answers. Or if she's come up short somewhere.
Yeah.
Producer Alicia.
She's sick.
So the longest man-made structure in the world is the Great Wall of China. Both of you guessed a bridge.
Where were you guys on that one?
I don't know.
It's Monday morning.
Haven't been to China.
Fe is the chemical symbol for iron. Neither of you got that one.
I knew it was something random.
Lorelai and Rory are the mother-daughter duo from Gilmore Girls. Bronte didn't even let Cliff finish the question.
No, I was going to say, I think that was almost bordering on pathetic how quickly you answered that.
Both of you got Nintendo for Super Mario, and in Great Gatsby's Gatsby's love interest is Daisy, which Bronte got correct. David passed, which means Bronte got 3, but David only got 1.
David!
She's 1 up on you, David. So that's 1 game down.
Best of 5, though, mate. I could go in. You go. What's up?
I just really want to stretch it out over the week.
Get it.
David's thinking purely for radio listenership and what's going to create interest and buzz here.
I like that after day 1, David saying that. I think we need a little higher stakes. Maybe tomorrow if I win, say that.
David, it was an effort.
It was.
I'm not going to say if it was a good one or it was an effort. Yesterday was Mother's Day.
It was.
Just so much love to all the mums. I hope you got weak cups of tea and burnt toast for breakfast. Mm. And as long as the love was there, there was probably no sweeter breakfast.
No.
It was a really important Mother's Day, I think, for my 9-year-old daughter Matilda, because I told you on Friday that she painstakingly searched high and low for the perfect gift that she wanted to buy for her mother. I know you got a big kick out of the fact that she couldn't find anything at the Mother's Day store at school.
Understandable. It's chaos at those things. Oh, just insanity.
So she says to me, Dad, take me somewhere nice. Take me to the reject shop. And I went, okay.
Girl after my own heart.
Let's get something nice at the reject shop.
Is this with her own pocket money?
Yep.
Oh.
So she's, she empties the dishwasher every day and brings the wheelie bin in there.
Oh,
my God. So she gets a little bit of pocket money at the end of the week for that. Can't take it out yet, but that's all right. We'll work on those buys and tries.
Those guns,
we'll get there. But I said to you, like, it doesn't matter what she picked at the end of the day, because watching her and me telling Michelle this, like watching her with her little smiggle wallet painstakingly walk up and down the aisles to try and find the perfect thing, that's actually the gift there.
Yeah.
Because the physical gift was the most hideous coffee mug you will ever see. It's this big, oddly shaped pink thing with this floral M written on it.
Stunning. Which and, has two.
Well, I said, things. Oh, M for Michelle. And she's like, no, it's for mum. And
obviously.
I was like, sorry.
Yeah.
But the worst part of this mug is it's got this gold handle on it that you do.
Yeah.
And I made coffee for Michelle yesterday, being Mother's Day, and I thought, oh, I won't make her coffee till we do the gift so Matilda can enjoy her drinking from the mug.
Yeah.
So Michelle has gotten the mug or whatever. I said, all right, I'll make you coffee now. I rinse it out because it's first time or whatever.
Of course.
And then I make the Nespresso in it, and your boyfriend Dylan would hate this because he's a barista guy, but we just put milk in. And then we microwave the coffee for 60 seconds because we don't like the steamer thing.
Okay,
it's a lot of mess, whatever. So we have Nespresso coffee shot in, sugar, milk, microwave for 60 seconds, all right?
Oh, no.
So I've put it in the microwave for 60 seconds.
The new mug.
And it's fine. Like, it hasn't exploded. Don't think the worst. It hasn't exploded or anything like that. But I microwave Michelle's coffee for 60 seconds. I then go and pick it up. And I didn't realize, but the gold on the handle or whatever must be some sort of like metallic paint or something like that that holds the heat. Because I've picked it up and I'm kidding you not, like it has third degree burned one of my fingers to the point where I drop it.
Like
in the coffee machine, it didn't break.
Of course not. It's reinforced.
It burnt the hell out of me. It didn't break. We're not that lucky.
Did you? Yeah, I was going to say, did you drop it or drop it?
And then, you know, look, when the sledgehammer came out, with all that accident,
coincidence.
Guys. There she is. Back to back.
There she is.
Cranky Tay-Tay. Don't mess with me, Tay-Tay.
No.
Only on Hit.
Swifties, welcome aboard. This is your captain speaking.
It's me. It's
Hits.
Hey, hey, hey.
Swifty and 50.
Everybody agrees.
She's slowly making her way all across America for her Eras tour. And as part of Swifty and 50, not only do you get $50,000 to see, to spend however you want, but you get to see her at, I think, what is going to be one of her best performances. It's at Los Angeles at SoFi Stadium.
I feel like we brushed over a little bit the whole me calling her Cranky Tay-Tay thing. Like, if anyone missed trending.
Yeah, she's a grumpy girl.
You just launched straight into it. And I'm
so
like, don't
sorry.
Make me sound like a Tay-Tay hater on the last week of Swiftie and 50.
At the time, I was Googling LA Taylor Swift, so I was only half listening.
She, like I just roused on Bronte, she roused on a security guard.
Yeah. Because Swifties are passionate.
Mate.
And she doesn't like when they tell them to stop dancing.
Good on her.
Yep.
So dance away if you win the trip to LA.
Oh, you couldn't stop.
And the $50,000 cash.
Okay.
Leash, the phone's... Yeah, I'm getting the thumbs up.
We broke the phone box.
Guys, you literally broke the phone. The phones went so stupid that the computer system went...
I should say, Sarah, who works in our office, she was answering phones on Friday. We also had a Swiftie and 50 callback. She said people were still calling well after our show, which is just very flattering. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
It's the first time that's ever happened.
It's not for us.
Are you ready to go?
Let's do it. All right.
30 seconds on
the
clock.
Got to say something to get on there, to get in the draw.
I think the phones are good, but we will find out.
30 seconds.
Katie, hello.
Hello.
Beautiful.
Heidi, you there? Heidi.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, hello. Sarah, good morning.
Hello.
Jamie, say Swiftie and 50.
Hello?
Yep, that'll
close
do.
Close enough. Try again. Kim, say Swifty and 50.
Swifty and 50.
Mine did it.
Julie, say I love avocados. Julie.
I love avocados.
Yeah, beautiful. Cindy, say Bronte has hairy toes.
Bronte has hairy toes.
That's a lie. I've had laser. I've had laser. That is incorrect.
Like hobbit feet, Cindy.
That is just wrong.
Honestly, you could plait the hair on her big toe.
You're wrong. Just because I'm in between laser appointments at the moment.
It's like pubes, really. Cindy, well done. You're on the standby list, mate.
Thank you. So excited.
What would you be more pumped for, the 50K or the Swifty tickets?
Probably the 50K incorporated into the time over in the US.
Oh, good thinking.
Yeah, I like it.
You'll
like
be
it.
In LA.
Well, you don't have to choose, mate. They're both yours.
That's
if you win.
So good.
There were no winners. It was all losers in the Clifton household on the weekend. After my wife and I, we had a big old Barney. We had a massive blue.
It happens, all right?
On the weekend.
At least you can admit it.
Thank you.
At least you're not one of those couples that's like, we never fight. Everything is perfect.
Everyone fights.
Everyone
fights. It was you and Dylan last weekend.
Yeah.
We talked about that. It must be contagious because you rubbed it off.
The only reason we didn't fight this weekend was probably because he wasn't here.
Yeah. It's a good weekend. Yeah, we had a massive blue over the dumbest thing. And it's sort of frustrating. And you get frustrated in yourself when blues over dumb things become real arguments, like real resentment.
So what started as a bit of a jokey jab
turned
into a real serious
That's exactly what it was, because it was all about Eurovision.
Oh, God.
The Eurovision Song Contest. 26 countries come together for the grand final. Started 5 a.m. yesterday morning our time. There was a bit of a lead up with semis and stuff. And Michelle was backing one of the favourites. And I was backing one of the favourites.
Okay.
Obviously, we both wanted Australia to win.
Naturally.
But in Eurovision, we're very much a long shot. So I feel like rugby league, you got your second team.
Yeah.
You sort of want to do that for Eurovision too. You want to back the Aussies.
Of course.
But you want to have your team in Europe.
Yeah.
Because it's probably more likely they're going to win.
Very likely.
So Michelle was hardcore in Finland's corner.
Oh my God.
Real Eurovision kind of. Cha, 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 cha. Real Eurovision entry.
Okay.
Daggy dancing.
I kind of like that.
He started in a box. He knocked the walls, the side of the box
so
down.
So just one performer?
With dancers.
No, of course. It's Eurovision.
But yeah, and he was wearing this thing to look like a puffer jacket, but his chest was completely exposed.
Oh.
It was like long sleeves, but with his
chest
out. Yeah, he's pretty good looking rooster too, which I think is why my wife was into it.
Might have helped.
But I was backing who I think was the favourite. These two were equal favourites. I was backing a woman named Loreen.
Yes.
Queen Loreen from Sweden, who actually won it 12 years ago.
Oh.
And side note, she did win it yesterday too.
I remember you saying you were backing Sweden before even the finals and things. So
I loved Loreen's entry 12 years ago.
Mm.
This is her entry this year. She started her act in what they were calling a sandwich press. It's like she was pressed down and then it lifted up.
Ow.
It was great.
That's an incredible voice. Very different vibes from Finland and Sweden.
And the thing that got me was, it was all good Michelle backing Finland, but her resentment towards Sweden, I think, is where I took issue.
Okay.
Look, Finland, I said to her, it's a solid performance straight up.
Mm.
But Michelle went, she's a bit like you with Can You Beat Bronte. She plays a little dirty. And she started saying things like, yeah, but what's with Loreen, like, coming back? And like, she's already won it.
Going for the easy jabs.
Yeah, and it started with like, oh, she's already won it once. Mm. Like, you know, just let it be. And then she said a comment like, and this is really what got my back up. She goes, oh, what, does she need the money or something?
And you felt defensive of Loreen.
But I thought that's like saying to a rugby league player, oh, you've already played in one state of origin.
I'm getting a good...
And I'm saying to Michelle, like, she's coming back to the biggest and... Like, it's the biggest... Like, what
she's
an honour.
She's won it, though. I kind of get it. She's won it. Why is she doing it again? Let somebody else play.
I'm not... Look, I did this all Saturday night.
Okay.
I'm not doing it again. But it did get me thinking... 13-10-60, when were you and your partner enemies?
Yeah.
Because usually in, you know, 99.9% of matters, Michelle and I are a united front.
Of course.
But my God, when we picked different corners, like, it became real.
And no common ground. Like, you, I imagine, neither of you faltered. You just had to accept that.
We hardly even spoke about Eurovision yesterday. We're the most Eurovision house ever. We didn't speak about it because we're just like, oh, let bygones be bygones.
Right.
Let sleeping dogs lie.
Because no one is going to, like, concede.
Like, we have to come together and raise two children today. So let's put this behind us.
We have
us.
To find the love again.
And it was Mother's Day too. Oh, so I was like, oh, God.
She got a pass.
God, gotta be nice.
Yeah.
13-10-60, like, think sport.
Yes.
Maybe there was
origin.
Maybe there was, like, a family feud where you had to pick sides.
Oh, I love that.
Romeo and Juliet, Montagues and Capulets.
Totally.
But 13-10-60, when were you and your partner? Like, you're 99% of the time you're on the same team, but when did you and your partner have to become enemies?
Yeah.
Robin on 13-10-60, how you doing?
Yeah, good, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, well, yeah, better now, mate.
Better now.
I've simmered down a little bit. But this whole having to be against your partner, being enemies with your partner, this is territory that you're familiar with, mate.
Oh, very much so, yeah.
What happened?
Oh, we always used to get into each other over the smallest things and then it would blow up and escalate from there. The one I'm thinking of is when I bought the wrong tomato sauce.
Oh, Robin.
I'm glad.
I got Fountain because it was on special.
Of course.
And I was meant to get Master Foods, obviously.
The old Fountain v Master Foods debate.
I love Robin. I appreciate, like, the self-awareness to call in. You didn't leave it up to your partner to dob you in. You are admitting fault. But I'm guessing in the moment you fought the good fight.
Absolutely. And, I mean, it devolved very quickly into, oh, you don't have any friends. And, you know, you haven't done the washing for a week and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, they're the best, mate, when the little things, the real innocuous things, actually become personal attacks.
Solid weekend.
Solid weekend. Mm-hmm. Weekend ruin.
Yeah.
Because you dared get the master food, the fountain sauce. Oh, left the master foods on the shelf.
I get it.
What are you doing, mate? Shell is next. Shell, thanks for calling. When were you and your partner enemies? Over which phone provider to go with? Was it Shell?
If you thought that over the weekend you might do what a lot of people are known to do when they're just sitting around on their phone, having a good stalk on your socials, I've got some really bad news for you. This is for anyone who was on Facebook on Saturday, around Saturday morning to mid-afternoon. There was a glitch, Cliffo, that Meta has had to come out and say, really sorry about this. It's been fixed.
Side note, still just a bit, what a wank, with the whole Meta, like the metaverse.
That's a bigger issue.
Like, what are you doing?
That's a glitch in itself. And they're not helping themselves or their reputation because this glitch was bad for anyone who loves a stalk because if you went onto someone's profile that you don't already have as a friend and you just wanted to go on and see if their profile was public enough to have a look at, this glitch meant that you automatically sent them a friend request and didn't even know that you did.
That's potentially very, very bad.
See, for me, this would have been a lot worse if this was sent on Instagram. I like a cheeky stalk on Instagram. Facebook.
We all do.
Of
we
course.
Just don't get on the radio and talk about it.
I'm not saying who. I'm just
Hand me your phone.
No. So, yeah, a lot of social media users on Friday over in the US pointed out that Facebook was automatically sending requests to people whose profile that they had just gone on. And that is over 2 billion users daily on Facebook. Yeah. That's a lot of unrequited friend requests.
This may have happened to me on the weekend.
Did it?
Only because, so someone who I know, who I am friends with, like in
real
Facebook
life.
World, in real life, yeah. I saw they came up in like recommended friends or whatever.
Yes.
And I thought that's very strange. So I clicked on that And I saw that I wasn't friends, but none of my friends were mutual friends. So I'm like, oh, they must be starting Facebook.
That's what I thought as
again.
Well. There was
but
people.
That, but I may have sent her.
Yeah,
a
you might have.
Request now.
Did you get any notifications?
No. Nah.
Me either. Is that really sad? No one was stalking us, Cliffo.
If you want to find me, guys, I'm on Facebook under the name Guy. Alpha Bucks is back tomorrow, Tuesday, May 16th. And
off a win.
For podcasters, yeah, you guys, hey, this is could be the gate, the key, the whatever. The key, let's go with that.
Let's go with the key.
I'm like, did I just have a stroke?
Or the clue.
I forgot how to talk all of a sudden.
I distracted you,
sorry. This could be the key to you winning tomorrow mm-hmm. and having two winners in 2 days.
We've done it before. Let's do it yeah. again. And your clue and the answer, fudge.
Beg your pardon?
Where do you land on fudge?
Fudge.
Fudge yeah. is like a one bite kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
It's so thick.
Yeah.
And it's so.
It's often so rich.
So rich.
Like, are you rich cake?
Yeah.
Are you chocolate?
But like, also so like.
Where are you?
It's like you yeah. can't. It's like peanut butter.
I'll leave it. Give me a McFlurry over fudge any day. But anyway, fudge. F is your letter. Fudge. Also a great supplementary swear word if you yeah. don't want to say the big one. Fudge, your free answer for tomorrow's Alpha Bucks. Say we are your corn chip loving breakfast show here, the Cliffo and Bronte team.
You would or wouldn't?
No, I would.
Yeah, I reckon.
We've discussed at length before, you and I off the show, are the best corn chips. And I know you have very, very solid
views.
Arguments and views as to yeah. what is the best corn chip.
The thing for me is I often crave cheese. Like I just love, especially, we've also talked about this, plastic cheese. Don't always want to buy that. So I find corn chips that are cheese coated often give yeah. me that fix.
Did you know it happened a few years ago? Scientists actually ruled that Doritos weren't food.
I don't need to know that.
Because there's so much just stuff in them. And
yeah, good stuff,
yeah.
science.
What
else are you doing for
but
us?
But it's true, because after I read that in an article, I looked at like the ingredients Doritos, and there's a lot of numbers. There's a lot of chemical symbols. A
lot of flavorings.
But we put all that aside in the hit office on Friday. And I got to say, shout out to our amazing office manager, Janaya, who put this together.
Yes.
But she did a blind taste test to once and for all decide what is the best flavor corn chip.
Yeah, this was
on the market.
We had a staff meeting, and the staff meeting, like actual, like, objectives and things that needed to be done in the office was very small compared yeah. to how important the chip contest was.
Says a lot about our office, really. Our boss, actually, he filmed a little video of the setup of the corn chip taste test. So you can see that now on our Insta at Cliffo and Bronte. But I do have the results in front
okay.
of me.
I didn't actually participate in this, so I'm very intrigued to know. What were the
and
options?
And we set up some, there was some guacamole set up at the end as well.
Yum.
So I thought we could just run through the options
yes,
now and
please.
Run through what the results were.
Yep.
So there was 8 chips on the platter all up. Bronte.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, I probably won't run through all of them because there's a bit of chopping and changing here, but I will say what came in last
yep.
in this one, like what got the wooden spoon? Really shocking for me. The CC's nacho cheese
no.
came in last place.
What? Out of all 8?
Yep. Followed by coming in like 7th place, so 2nd last, was Mission Nacho Cheese.
No.
So a lot of the nacho cheese biscuits actually right down the bottom of the rankings.
I see. Okay. I can see maybe why, because I eat them just on their own, but them as a vessel for like guacamole or dip, sometimes it's too much.
You're right. At the highest ranking cheese-flavoured corn chips came in at position number 4 and 3, so 3rd and 4th, with the Dorito Nacho Cheese Chip
sure.
and the Dorito coming in at number 4 and the Dorito Extreme Cheese Chip coming in at number 3. So they were your highest-rated flavoured chips, essentially.
This is my Eurovision, by the way. This is how seriously I'm taking this.
Coming in at number 2, the Mission
yep.
Original
what?
Chip. And coming in at number 1, this is where
Sweden.
The Sweden of the Eurovision of the corn chip world, coming in at number 1, the Dorito Original Chip. Potentially. Top-rated chips in the Hit Office are just your plain Jane ones.
Boring.
That don't have all that orange, like turn your finger orange.
Flavour.
Seasoning. Yeah, they're just like a plain corn chip.
Ew.
I think, as you say, though, probably the superior vessel
they are.
To let other flavours shine through. But if you're just going to
feast.
Just be disgusting and just jam them in your mouth. That's when your nacho cheese
is top of the pops, mate. Yeah.
That was the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.